At the Supreme Court today, oral arguments in the case of Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin, a case that could put an end to the use of affirmative action in college admissions.
Last week, we asked you this question. Is there still a place for affirmative action in 2012, and why? Here's what some of you had to say.
Having grown up as a white, upper-middle-class boy in Alabama, I went to college with good intentions, but little experience.
This is Evan Garner of Decatur, Alabama.
When a discussion in a philosophy class turned to affirmative action, I surprised myself at how emotionally opposed to the practice I was. The professor asked, "Do you think you would have had the same level of opportunity if you had been born as a black woman?" My silence answered his question. I dream of the day when I wake up and realize that my race and class would not make a difference in my opportunities, but we are not nearly there yet.
Betty Dong of Arcadia, California writes this, "I don't believe affirmative action at the university level is necessary. My son is a Chinese American and worked very hard throughout high school. He took honors and AP classes and studied himself into a frenzy, causing great stress." She goes on, "I think this kind of competitiveness should be started early and be instilled in children earlier, to not assume that by sex or race or ethnicity they should be guaranteed entrance into any program."
Meanwhile, Jay Hawley of Huntsville, Alabama says, yes, we need affirmative action.
When African Americans are unemployed and underemployed at double the rate of European Americans, yes, we need affirmative action. When African American business owners are undercapitalized and only own about 3% of the businesses in America, yes, we need affirmative action. When there are very few African American reporters, even on programs such as NPR,
we still need affirmative action.
This is Lori Marhofer of Okemos, Michigan.
I'm a white woman in my 30s, and I work as a history professor. My profession is very white. History, however, is not white, and not only white people are interested in history. The fact that most history professors are white is due to a legacy of discrimination and institutional bias against people of color. This is not only unjust, it is a disservice to our students.
Walter Steiner of Youngstown, New York, tells us he believes the time for racial preferences has long passed. He's white and grew up in a lower middle class family in Southern California, alongside a Latino majority that he says was considerably more privileged. In the next few decades, he writes, it is predicted that all whites will be a minority in the United States. I'm 44 years old and have no memory of the civil rights movement, but I do have distinct memories of swimming upstream against racial preferences at every stage of my career, starting with college.
Maria Torres Villa of Lawrenceville, Georgia, tells us that both she and her husband are college-educated Hispanics who've been able to provide ample opportunities for their children.
Our children do not need any help from colleges for admission. The same is true for the children of our African American, white, and Asian friends who are in our same situation. On the other hand, a student who has been able to succeed in high school despite the limitations that poverty brings does deserve help from colleges and universities in admission.
And one final word from Jim Cunningham of Austin, Texas. He believes his daughter was initially denied admission to the University of Texas because she is white. He understands the push to have a student body that reflects the population of the state, but
the answer isn't to turn away qualified students. The answer is to enhance other schools within the state system so that no one school is so overwhelmed by applicants that they must select based on a criteria as singular as skin color. In this instance, choosing through race treats a symptom, not the cause.
Thanks to all of you who wrote us with your comments. Elsewhere in today's program, we have a full report on today's arguments before the Supreme Court, a report from NPR's Nina Totenberg.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.